Psalms 119, and we'll pick up tonight in verse 9. One of the more popular verses in Psalms 119, for sure. There's a couple of other ones as well. Let's read the entire passage of Scripture tonight. We're actually going to cover 16 verses tonight. I know that's amazing, but that's what's going to happen, all right? Psalms 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By the way, that can be a young lady or an old man or an old lady, but being politically correct here, I'm just kidding, but you get the point. By taking heed thereto, according to thy word, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Tonight I'd like to preach a message to you entitled Steps to Spiritual Success. And the real central thought that I'd like for us to see this evening is, in order to be successful spiritually, not just by the world standard, but spiritually successful, the Word of God must be central in your life. Must be central in your life. Father, thank you for the Word. Thank you that we have a copy of it. Thank you that we can open it tonight and learn some truths. I hope that will change lives. Lord, we realize that it is from the Word of God, not from man's opinion, that changes lives. Help us to apply it to our hearts and lives tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to go back to the beginning in verse 9. We'll see number one tonight. I'd like for us to mind the word. That is M-I-N-D. Obey it is what we're trying to say. Mind the word. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 5 says, only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I have commanded thee this day. The Bible says here in verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 it says, take heed unto thyself and unto doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. It does us no good to read or listen to the Word of God if we're not going to obey it. It increases our accountability before God, but also increases our judgment before Him. We can put in all this material, and if we're not willing to obey what God tells us to do, it does us absolutely no good. And so, as we take heed according to the Word of God, let it change us, let it continue to confront us where we're wrong and say, well, wait a minute. You can't think that thought because that's not pleasing to God. You can't have that attitude because that's not pleasing to God. You can't disobey in that area because that's not pleasing to God. Whatever it may be. And if you spend time in the Word of God, it will continuously do that. And I've said this often, but I mean it. If you can spend daily time in the Word of God and that never happens to you, you ought to check up on your salvation. Because it ought to constantly be correcting us, correcting our thinking. So we see, number one, that we mind the word. But number two, we memorize the word. It says in verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." We know when Jesus was confronted with temptation from the enemy, immediately he said, "It's written, it is written, it is written." Went back to the word of God to defeat the enemy, and we need to do the same. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let it come out in everything that you say and do. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 18, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be frontlets between your eyes." In other words, make the word of God constantly your source. Everywhere you look, it ought to be there. How do you memorize the word of God? Well, there's a variety of ways out there. I hope you have a specific memory plan. I don't know how many of you remember a number of years ago at family camp, probably 7, 8, 9 years ago now, a man in family camp came and taught us a method to memorize Scripture. I've actually been using that method ever since. I think it's a wonderful method. And it's simply this, and I just want to share it with you tonight. If you remember it, great, maybe this will be a reminder. If you've never heard it and you don't have a Scripture memory plan already, then maybe this will help you. He just simply said, take a 3x5 card or whatever and write the memory verse out, whatever it may be, and then try to get familiar with it where you can say it without looking. You may not necessarily have it completely memorized, but you can say it without looking. And then on day one, you say that verse 25 times. Now, you may think, wow, that's going to take a long time. It really doesn't. It does not take a long time at all. Day two, you say it 20 times. Day three, 15 times. Day four, 10 times. Day five, 5 times. And then 30 days every day, one time for 30 days. And then once a month, you review it and you'll know that verse. And I'm telling you, it works. Works for me. Now, maybe you have a different plan that works for you, but my point is this. We must memorize God's Word. We're going to spend a little bit of time on the next point. Without this one, you can't get to the next one at all. You having problems with this particular sin in your life? Memorize the Word of God. Specifically for that particular area, whatever it is, all of them are going to be different in this room. But memorize those verses so that when the enemy tempts you with that specifically, you can give him a specific set of verses. Well, the Word of God says this. Boom, 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 boom. You can go right down the line with that. Now, memorize the Word of God. I hide it in my heart that I might not sin against God. So, number one, we mind the Word. Number two, we memorize the Word. But number three, we meditate on the Word. Now, this word is used twice in this passage, and it's indicated in the other in one other passage. Look with me at verse 15. "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." Verse 23. "Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes." It's also indicated in verse 20. "My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times." The idea is that he's constantly thinking about the Word of God. What does the word meditate mean? Well, it means to muse or to meditate upon, to study, to ponder, to talk, to sing, to speak, to occupy one's attention. You get the idea that it's an all-consuming thing. So you're to just let it constantly be mulling over in your mind. As some people have said, you chew the cud. You just get everything you possibly can out of that, as a cow would do with grass. You're constantly allowing it to become a part of you. Take your Bibles with me, if you would, and turn to James chapter 1. And let's look at an interesting passage of Scripture in light of this. James chapter number 1. Verse 21. The Bible says, "Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word," there's the obedience, "and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and looketh his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is or was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Now, the word meditation is not mentioned here, but it talks about looking into the perfect law of liberty and continuing therein. The word "looketh" here means to stoop to a thing in order to look at it. To look at it with the head bent forward. To look into with the body bent. To stoop and look into. So you get the idea, doesn't it? It's not a casual looking. It is a intent investigation. It's almost as if you're trying to find a small needle or maybe a diamond or something in carpet or in grass. You ever drop something in grass and everybody's kind of, there was something lost Wednesday night in the grass out here at the church. And everybody's like, freeze. Nobody move. And you're on your knees and you're trying to pull across. Okay, that's the idea with this look. It's not just a casual look. It is we're continuously allowing the Word of God to change us. Jim Berg, in his book, God is More Than Enough, says this describes the diligent search and intensity that meditation involves. Matter of fact, he says from this passage of Scripture, you need both concentration and continuation. Allow it to be concentrated on and continually allow it to be mulled over in your mind. So, if you don't have a daily time in God's Word, I want to recommend you start that. You need that every day. If you do have a daily time in God's Word, are you thinking about it all day long? Is it dominating your thoughts? Now, I understand you have other things to do, okay? You don't necessarily get the privilege of spending 8 hours a day looking into the Word of God. I understand that. But as the Word of God is penetrating you, are you allowing it to change you? Are you thinking about it? Well, how does that verse apply to this situation or that situation or that situation? Or how does that apply to my relationship at home? And how does it apply to my children? And how does it apply to... We're constantly allowing the Word of God to change us. Look at 1 Timothy, if you would, please. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul, of course, is writing to young Timothy, his son in the faith. Verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. We see that idea in verse 9 of our text tonight, but multiple times it talks about that. Last week we talked about that coming out of the latter part of the first 8 verses. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. So when the Word of God changes us, others are going to notice that, and it's going to be a profit to them. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, the teachings. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. The word meditate is a present active imperative. It's a command. Spend time thinking about the Word of God. Let it be continual in my life. May it be a practice. May it literally consume me. Again, Jim Berg says, meditation should result in obvious spiritual impact that others can see. They can see it in your life. The Word of God is taking root there. It's changing that person. They're not the same. We know a number of these verses, Psalms chapter 1 and verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalms 119 and verse 48. And it's interesting how many times this word is used in Psalms 119. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Psalms 119, verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they deal perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Psalms 119, verses 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe, to obey, to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. People are going to be able to see that the word of God has made a difference in your life. Jim Berg again says this: reading the word is warming up and stretching. Without much effort at all, most adults can read through the Bible at least once a year. That is hardly deep Bible study or even meditation. It is just the beginning. It is merely a warm-up. It stretches our muscles of concentration and comprehension. Studying the word and meditating upon the word are real exercise. That's when we really get into the word. Are you meditating on the word of God? Hey, well, how would we do that? In his book, again, I know I'm quoting him a lot. It was an excellent session on meditation. He gives a simple thing called MAP. And some of you are writing this down. I want to encourage you to do that. MAP, memorize the verse. We've already talked about that, and it's already mentioned in this passage. It's impossible to meditate on something that you don't already know. So memorize the Word of God, and then analyze the Word of God. That is, take it apart. Find out what it means. And you say, well, I'm not sure I can do that. I don't have Bible study tools and all that kind of stuff. Okay, get a really good old dictionary, because the grave majority of the words in the Word of God can be accurately defined with a really good old dictionary. All right? You can get tons of online Bible helps. They are all over the internet, and a lot of them are good. You should be able to tell which ones are bad and good. Now, if you have a question, you can see me, and I'll try to let you know. Stay away from that one or whatever. But analyze it. Find out, what does this verse really mean? And then lastly, the P is personalize the passage. Okay, not only what does this verse mean, but what does this verse mean to me? What am I going to do with this verse? How does it help me? How does let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying that minister grace to the hearers? Hey, Pastor, why do you have that verse memorized? Because I need it. That's why I have it memorized. All right, so how does that help me? Well, that means that I'm not allow things out of my mouth that's not pleasing to the Lord. Let no corrupt communication, not a little bit here and there. No, it says let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying. The word edify means to build up. So whatever I communicate, it should be to build up other people. All right, so when I'm pulling onto the highway and the guy cuts me off and I say, what's wrong with you, you idiot? Don't you know this was my lane? That's not building up. You say, he can't hear me. Your children can. So can the Holy Spirit, by the way. All right? So that which is good to the use of edifying. I know I went to meddling there. I'm just saying, all right? That which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That means I'm going to treat them better than they deserve to be treated. Well, that person deserved to be chewed out. Okay, they may have deserved to be chewed out, but that's not how you're supposed to treat them. You're supposed to treat them with grace. Right? So, can we use that verse? Yeah, a couple hundred times a day. Sometimes, depending on your setting, right? Sure we can. All right. But if we don't know it, and if it's not a part of us, then we can't use it when it comes time to use it. So meditate upon the Word of God. So we've talked about to mind the Word, that is, obey it, to memorize the Word, to meditate on the Word. Number four, we see, let's go back to Psalms 119, and we see a beautiful passage that I would recommend you use quite frequently. Matter of fact, it'd be a good idea to use it every day, that you dive into the Word of God. I'll get there in just a minute. It's somewhere in Psalms. There it is. Verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Number four, the manifestation of the word. That is, allow the word of God to become alive to you. Who knows the word of God better than anyone? God. Right? He wrote it. He has truth in here that we have yet to see. I'm convinced that we're going to continue to peel off the layers and we're going to go, wow, never saw that before. You know those disciples that walked with him, by the way? Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us, by the way? Can you imagine Jesus picking up disciples and starting in the Old Testament preaching unto them Jesus? Wow. You're talking about a commentary now. That would have been something else. The word open means to reveal or uncover or to lay bare, to make it known. Okay, God, I want to know what this verse says to me. I've shared with you a couple of times, but for sake of saying it again, I've started using a plan where I read the same text of Scripture for 30 straight days. Now, that may not work for you. Some of you would probably say, well, I'd get bored really quick, but I love it, honestly. I absolutely love it. And I'm at the point, what's today, 17th today is? Usually about day 20 or 21, I'm going, okay, I think I got all I can get out of this thing. I mean, you know, I'm pretty much maxed out. I try to get at least one meditation thought every day. Okay, God, what are you trying to say to me here? I'm like, okay, I'm pretty much done with this. And it happens every month. And I do it every month. And I'm like, no, you do this every month. And about day 23, a whole new level opens up. It's like, how did I read that 23 times and miss that? It's right in the text of Scripture. It's opening up before us. Allow the Word of God to do that. Psalms 119 and 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life. So what is that telling us? It's telling us simply the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. In other words, the Bible is going to give light on other sections of the Bible. That's why we need to read it. We need to let it change us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, allowing the Holy Ghost to teach us. Luke 12 and verse 12. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. So the Lord is telling the disciples, hey, when the Holy Spirit comes, he can be within every one of you. I'm only here teaching a group of you. But he's going to come and he's going to remind you of things. And we find that in the book of Acts, don't we? Where guys are saying, don't you remember when the Lord said, well, what about this? And as the Holy Spirit began to open up before them the Word of God, oh, that passage of Scripture, if you will, dumb Peter, uneducated Peter, goes back to the Old Testament on the day of Pentecost and starts pulling Scriptures that are partial fulfillments of what's happening on the day of Pentecost. Where did he get that from? Holy Spirit of God was drawing those truths to him. John chapter 16 and verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit needs to be involved in this illumination process as we open our eyes, behold wondrous things out of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17 and 18 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in saints. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that we can come to this book and it's going to light our lives. We'll get to that a little bit later on in Psalms 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Have you ever been in the dark? Wherever it may be, you want a light. And even a little one is very, very helpful whenever it's really, really dark. When we were in Africa, the missionary said to us, "Do you not have a flashlight?" And we said, "Well, we do, but we've not been carrying it." And she said, "I'd recommend you carry it. You have no idea what's in the path." And she said, "It would be a really good idea for you to carry your flashlight." Well, the very first night I thought, she's lived there almost 40 years. I probably ought to listen to what she had to say. And so I have my little flashlight and it's on and I'm just got it down by my leg and I'm bebopping along and the light's shining in front of me as I'm walking. And all of a sudden, poof, right in the path is a cobra. I would have stepped right on him. Light became really important. You didn't find me many places without that flashlight from then on. You know, we have an enemy. And he'd love to destroy you. He'd love to trip you up. He'd love to lay snares in your way. But the Word of God is a light that lets us know that. Manifestation of the Word. Number five. The mentoring of the Word. The mentoring of the Word. Look at verse 24, if you would, please. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. That word counselors there means the men of my counsel. It's the idea that it's a group of men that you get counsel from. I hope that you have people that you gain godly counsel from. The writer is saying, let the Word of God be like a group of counselors for you. We could say our mentor. Let the Word of God be the mentor that you need in your hearts and lives. Psalm 73 and verse 24 says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. I quoted this already, Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Above everyone else, the Word of God should be your chief mentor in life. I think it's a good idea to have a mentor. Matter of fact, Paul makes that argument with Timothy. He says, Timothy, the things which you've heard of me, commit to faithful men who will teach others also. Again, a four-step process, just like Psalm 78 we read this morning with Elizabeth and Timothy. God wants us to be involved in that, but never minimize the fact that this book are to be your chief counselor. So is the Word of God a central part of your life? Is it the very center of everything you do? It's not just something that I read in the morning and I put it aside and I go through my day. Or maybe I don't even read it in the morning. I'm way too busy. What you're really saying is, God, I don't need you today. I can handle this by myself. That's what we're saying. We don't like that, but it really is what we're saying. God, I don't need you to help me avoid the enemy today. I think I got this covered. I know he's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. I know he's going to shoot fiery darts, but I think I got it covered today. It's okay. I can handle it. Now, you don't physically say that, do you? But it really is what we're communicating. Can others see the results of God's Word working in your heart? Can they visibly see that? Because the Word of God makes it clear that's going to happen. They're going to be able to see that. It's going to be changing you. And they can be able to point at it and say, you know what? You used to have this as a problem, but I can see that changing in your life. By the way, don't bristle when someone says that to you. We don't always like it, right? By the way, you're really changing. You used to allow things to beat you down, and now you got a smile on your face. And it's exciting to see the Word of God doing that. What? You think I used to have a problem with having an attitude? What's wrong with you? Not that any of you would do that, right? But sometimes we bristle at those things. But aren't we supposed to be growing? We're supposed to be. So when someone recognizes growth in us, that ought to be a good thing. I know we don't want them to see our warts, but they do. They may not always tell us, but they see them, right? So where's the Word of God in your life? Do you obey it? Do you memorize it? Do you meditate on it? Does it grab a hold of you? Are you allowing it to become part of your life? I want to show you something just as a sake of illustration tonight, okay? If you went to Spain, I want you to stand up. If you went to Spain, I want you to stand up. I'm going to put you on the spot. You ready? I want us to say our theme verse from Spain. Okay? Philippians 2, 21 and 22. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. For you know the proof of Him, that as a son with the Father, He served with me in the gospel. Okay, now, some of them were muttering it, but they were saying it. Do you know why they know that? Because we said it every day in Spain. We were reminded every day, and we shared this with you a couple of weeks ago. We were reminded that, hey, we're not to seek our own. And we get the privilege of serving together with these missionaries. It became part of the fabric of who we were on that mission team. All right, you guys can sit down. That's what should happen in our lives every day. It ought to become the fabric of us. We ought to be allowing the Word of God to become so intertwined in us that that's who we are. People can see the Bible making that big of a difference. I hope that you'll allow it to do that in your life. Father, thank you for your Word. Lord, I would be so much a bigger mess than I am without the Word of God. Lord, I love the fact that daily you correct me. You pull me back into line. You say, oh, wait a minute. That you don't need to think that. You don't need to have that attitude. Lord, may I be obedient to the Word. May I allow it to become part of me. May it transform me in every way. May it do the same for our people. In Christ's precious name we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you a couple questions. Do you have a daily time in God's Word? Now, I'm not asking if you miss sometimes. I understand that, okay? But as a general rule, it is a daily habit for you to spend time in God's Word. And so, Pastor, that is my testimony as a daily habit. Maybe not every day, but majority of the time, it is a habit that I spend time in God's Word. How many of you have a memorization plan that you regularly work on? Again, I'm not saying you memorize a verse every day, but you have a memory plan that you work on fairly regularly. All right, and then lastly, how many of you have made it a regular practice to meditate on God's Word? You're taking the passage apart and you're really letting it become a part of your fiber of your being. All right, now the last question. Do you want that? If you've not spent daily time in the Word of God, do you want to spend time in it? If you've not memorized it, if you've not meditated on it, if you're not obeying it, do you want that? You want the Holy Spirit of God to illuminate a passage? Open thou mine eyes. Do you want the Word of God to be your counselor? You'd say, Pastor, there was a specific area, memorization, meditation, whatever, reading it to begin with, allowing it to be my counselor, specific area that the Holy Spirit of God said, that right there you need to change. Now, if we will do that, it will be obvious in our midst that God is doing a work. Father, help the many responses to your Word tonight. Lord, if we will allow this to penetrate us, really change us, we'll be a different place. Lord, because it is the Word of God that makes a difference in lives. And we apply it, we'll be people that are growing closer and closer to you. We sure love you. Thank you for reminding us of these things, Lord. I need these reminders daily. Thank you for reminding us of them. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name.